Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today, joined in the same room by a luminary, Walter Robson. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show, Eric.
Yeah,
quite excited.
I'm really hyped. We are in the same room. This is the first time I've ever recorded a podcast in the same room as someone. So, either way, I think the recording of this is going to sound a little bit weird to some of our longer-time listeners, just because it is just a different kind of style than we've ever really done before.
We're on the bleeding edge of podcast technology right now.
Yeah, yeah. Tons of people have done this before, but we're just stupid enough not to know how to figure it out correctly. I brought Walter on to talk about the Lions, and then I realized how woefully inequipped he was to talk a little bit about the Lions.
Hey,
as he told me beforehand that no. Walter Payton had played for the Lions and he did not know Barry Sanders' name off the top of his head.
I was taking a shot in the dark because I do not know the last Lion inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You want to know that?
I refuse to brush up on my
You want to know
history.
That?
The Lions haven't been good in a long
time. Defensive back Lem Barry, who played last in 1977.
Yeah, how the fuck am I supposed to know that, bro?
Bro, like, it's just kind of a, it's kind of the way it is. You gotta know these types.
Yeah,
we gotta know these types of things in the podcasting scenario business. So, we are just gonna talk Walter one-on-one for a little while, and
Let's jump into it, bro.
We're gonna jump into like some Detroit Lions talk, my man. So
I'm excited. I'm ready.
So you lay scaffolding for a living now. You're a working man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I just kind of, I guess I do. Well, not just scaffolding. I do pretty much everything. I don't really have an official job title. It's a way to make money. That's about it.
Oh man, that sounds hot.
Yeah, it's like 100 degrees out every day, and I just bake in the sun. But at least I get to practice my Spanish a lot, so my Spanish is getting much better.
Well, why don't you give me a little something? Give us a little something.
A little something in Spanish. Hola, yo, soy Walter.
Me llamo Eric.
Sí.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien. Yo gusto,
Mostly I just know how to, like, curse in Spanish.
Biblioteca.
I just know how to, like, I know the big ones, like, punta, and, like, pene, and, like, I know the Spanish.
Oh, I know pene.
Words.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, and Matt was talking Spanish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Spanish, what a great language it is.
Except for when Cardi B makes a rap song with it.
Oh, yeah, you're not... Are you big into Cardi B? You're a rap fanatic, and we're going to get to that in a second, but, like, why are you not into Cardi B, my man?
Cardi B is, she just basically chopped Nicki Minaj's style, and she has Offset write all of her lyrics, and it's clearly evident by her low-quality raps
that
just sound like they're bit from Migos Triplets.
You have legitimately the weirdest taste in music I think I've ever heard in my life. Well, not that. No,
you listen to Tech Nine.
You flip flop.
You listen to Tech Nine.
You flip flop constantly.
Well,
first it was Cardi B's new album is fire.
It was.
Then it sucks.
No, I never said her new album was bad. I just.
But you hate Cardi B.
I do not like the music that Cardi B has been releasing recently.
Which is that album.
No, she's been on a bunch of singles.
Singles.
Yeah.
Okay. As a featured artist.
Yeah, as like a featured artist or like. Yeah.
Okay. I don't count that as something you can judge an artist for.
No, I do. She's on a couple of Spanish songs.
What about Drake? Listen to me. Okay, so this kid has been hyping up Drake since like 2007.
No, my facts,
no.
Opinions are founded in facts.
No. He gets on me for not listening to Drake all the time. I finally get into Drake. I'm finally like, hey, I want to go to a Drake concert. And this kid is like, no, I don't like Drake anymore. Now, luckily, I learned that night I'm actually scheduled to work. So, rip to me. I'm not going either way. But, like, why has your, like, I get it. But, like, it seems like over the past legitimately month, you have gone from like the biggest Drake stan in the world to just absolutely despising the guy. I don't understand the shift.
I can explain it. So if you look at Drake's discography, like if you look at Take Care, or you look at if you look at pretty much any of his older music, like he's not rapping about like he's rapping about his life and when he was on the come up. And he's like, yeah, I didn't really, like, come from nothing like a lot of these rappers nowadays. I didn't come from the projects. Like, his dad was an actor. He was a child actor. He was making money. He was well set off before he even joined the music game. And so he's rapping about stuff like that. But then for Drake to just eviscerate Meek Mill on Back to Back, and he truly... Back to Back was one of the greatest responses in diss tracks of all time. And I stand by that. And I still am a fan of old Drake. But with the release of Scorpion, he failed to address any of the major issues brought up by the story of Adidas and Pusha T. In this Pusha T beef, Pusha T takes shots at his ghostwriting. So many artists have taken shots at Drake's ghostwriting. Like, it's a well-known fact in the industry that Drake does not write his own songs.
But everyone ghostwrites.
Pusha T does not ghostwrite. Kendrick Lamar does not ghostwrite. Kanye West does not ghostwrite. Any great artist today that you would consider greatest of all time or greatest of their generation, Ski Mask of Slump God does not ghostwrite, Lil Pump does not ghostwrite.
Who the fuck is Ski Mask of...
Okay, we're going to pretend like you do know who Ski Mask the Slump God is. Lil Pump writes his own songs. The man's who dropped out of school sophomore year and Drake can't put together a hook? Are you kidding me? Rich Brian writes his own songs. You know how Rich Brian writes his songs? With, like, freaking Rhyme Dictionary, bro, pulled up. Like, literally, it's not hard to write your own music. It's not hard as if you're decently musical, if you're a man as talented as Drake, because he does have a talented voice, then you should at least at a minimum be able to write your own lyrics. Freaking, if you look at Lil Pump, he has produced, written, and literally given birth, just him. He doesn't have any beat makers, he doesn't have any producers, he doesn't have anything like that, and he's putting out phenomenal music, like Drug Addicts, Esquete, like all this great Lil Pump music. But Drake, when he dropped Scorpion, he dropped a 27 long, or however long it was, what was it, it was like 25 tracks, 26 tracks, yeah. Something like that, and not a single mention of Pusha T. Not a single thing. And Drake's out here pretending like he's...
Yeah, but he did it as like a subtweet of Pusha T. No. You listen to the lines in Talk Up. You listen to the lines in Nonstop. And you can pick out where he's taking shots at Pusha T. It takes... It's not surface level. That's why Pusha T lost that battle. Because
Pusha T
came... Surface level at Drake, he said.
Surface level.
Like surface level.
His child that was unknown.
There was no craftsmanship to it. There was no just wordplay to it. There was no creativity to it.
Story of Adidas will go down as the best diss track, second only to Nas's Ether, hands down. If you look at anybody,
that's laughable, bro.
Any contemporary rap expert, any contemporary. Anybody, like Complex, Freshman, XXL, literally any music...
Infrared, I'll give you that, but its Story of a Dion was not as good as Ether.
Yes, it was.
It just wasn't.
Okay, Ether, what do we have? Nas calling Jay-Z a faggot? Like, ooh, really, really lyrically edgy, especially for, like, the late 90s when it came out. Like, really, way to show...
He legitimately, his only stinging line is, "You are hiding a child." That is his only stinging line.
No.
And it's obvious and upfront, and every rapper that exists on the planet probably has a bastard child somewhere.
No, that is true. But Drake has built his career off of being a woman's man, off of being Mr. Seductive, who cares about the lady. He's just looking for a wife, and his heart just keeps getting broken, when really, he's the one that had his own child deported to Mexico after the porn star that he
impregnated.
Why do you think Pusha T says
he deported a child?
Actually, I think it was to Canada, not Mexico. His porn star that he is hiding, and he hasn't even been sending money to. He is a terrible
foreign child. He didn't deport the child, though.
He won't let them into America. Like, they asked Drake if they could come live in America, in, like, anywhere, and he's like, no. He's like, you can't. It's truly unbelievable. And not only that, but have you noticed that Drake did not release his Adidas clothing line that he has been scheduled to release? If you look in the media, Drake has been hyping up his return to Adidas. Like, he's left Jordan, he showed up courtside at the Toronto playoff games wearing Adidas, and he's promoting his own line. They're like, oh, we've never seen these Adidas clothes before. Maybe Drake's doing a collab with Adidas, right? And that was literally going to be Adidas. He was going to name his clothing line after his son, and Pusha T single-handedly ruined that clothing line. No one's going to buy it. He literally can't even release his clothing anymore. Do you know how Diddy became the richest rap artist?
No.
Clothing. His clothes are sold in Macy's. These clothing lines are not to be fucked with. Pusha T single-handedly took more revenue away from Drake that he could have made following the release of Scorpion. Scorpion was the biggest release of the summer. People listened to it. He had over 1 billion streams in a day. Right? Now imagine if he hadn't been just eviscerated by Pusha T. Imagine if his clothing line could launch the week after Scorpion dropped. Imagine the hysteria. It would be bigger than Yeezy. It would be bigger than Supreme, bro. But no, Pusha T ruined him, bro. That's why I say Pusha T won the beef.
Oh my god. Well, that is one of the most impassioned just takedowns of Drake that I've ever heard in my, you know, like, my entire life.
Yes.
It just seems like, I don't know. Well, you're not a fan of Drake anymore, all right?
No. Don't get it wrong. I am still a fan of old Drake. I am still a fan of, like, Star 67 when he's with, like, Lil Wayne and Future. I'm still a fan of old Drake. I'm just not a fan of Scorpion, and I'm not going to go to a Scorpion World Tour where he's going to sing the same shit
songs. He's with Migos, though.
Dude, Migos...
Migos, are you gonna shit on Migos?
I'm not gonna shit on Migos. I'm gonna shit on Migos as a live performer, like as a group that performs. They're not good. They have a consistent history of showing up late, of not performing, of just playing recordings, of not getting the crowd hyped, of coming into their set 45 minutes late and leaving 45 minutes early. Like, they performed for 30 minutes when they came for the Salt Air. I don't know.
It's just
I don't want to sit in nosebleeds to listen to Drake sing about his feelings and how the world has turned on him and hear the Migos talk about like 40 trillion times so I can hear the chorus another 36 billion times. Like, it's not already overplayed enough.
All right, fair points. So you're obviously very impassioned about hip hop, like that seems like to be a deep like. Passion
for
you.
I'm opinionated on it. I would say that I'm opinionated on it.
Yeah, well, you are. May I suggest you start, like, a hip-hop podcast?
A hip-hop podcast?
No, yes, my dude, like, you'd be good.
People want to listen to this white little ginger from Salt Lake City, Utah breakdown, like, oh, yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Like, TK, he's innocent. Bobby, he's getting out in 2020. Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, you're
Did
about...
Did you see Kodak's release date was moved up?
No, I don't know.
He's getting released August 14th.
So, Bobby Shmurda. This is called Phil Eric in on the Topics of the Times. Explain Bobby Shmurda to me. What's the deal with this guy?
Okay, so, Bobby Shmurda released his hit single that he blew up off on, Hot Boy, or like whatever you want to... Like, the Hot... N-word. That was literally the name of the song. We can't say it. This is why I couldn't run a hip-hop podcast, bro. Is because, like, I'd be, like, reading lyrics and I'd have to censor myself. And just because, like, fundamentally hip-hop is not something that I think a white person should make a podcast about. But that's my own personal belief. You can go on and make one about Eminem or something. You can have him in the racial draft.
We're not... Racial draft!
No, have you seen that Dave Chappelle skit? That Dave Chappelle skit?
No!
It's the funniest Dave Chappelle skit. It's like the most famous Dave Chappelle skit ever. It's the race draft.
Alright, I'll go look that
Highly
up.
Recommend watching. But no. So Bobby Shmurda, right?
Right.
In his song, he raps about his gang that he's in, as most rappers do. And it's GS9, right? And that's the gang. And the police in the area know that Bobby Shmurda is gang affiliated. But what they do, which was illegal. So Bobby Shmurda is currently wrongfully imprisoned, and he doesn't get out until 2020, right? And right now he's serving time in prison because the police got a warrant to search his home, based off of rap lyrics, which were clearly an artistic expression of the struggle on the streets, right? And they said that they had probable cause for raiding his house. You know what he got arrested on?
What?
a gun charge, a handgun. He had a handgun for self-protection because he's actually living somewhere where you get jumped, where your chain gets stolen with, like, serious consequences if you're not willing to defend yourself, right? And there's no way he could have gone through the legal hassle and the legal process of getting this gun in a legal manner. And so his fundamental human right to self-protection is having that gun. And he was wrongfully imprisoned, and he was given 4 years for a gun charge because he is an African-American youth from a poor part of town who makes rap music that made the judge uncomfortable. That is the sole reason why he's in prison. If a white person had an unregistered handgun, they would get probation for 6 months tops. And Bobby Shmurda is serving 6 years in prison for that. Free Bobby. Free Bobby.
That's a good case. Sounds fucked up, man.
It is.
All right. Well, now that we've got Walter fired up and in a good place, let's move on. We're going to do some... No, we're not talking football yet.
We're not talking football
yet. You are definitely not ready for football yet. So
okay.
Look over the roster a little bit longer. We just steal a segment that a lot of radio shows do and a lot of podcasts do and whatever, called Mount Rushmore, which is your top four, but it's a snake draft, and we have four. But I think because we've been talking about hip-hop so much... We're going to do our Mount Rushmore of rappers. This doesn't necessarily have to be as... The scope is personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not about the impact they've made to the musical genre. It's not about that. It's purely personal. You're the guest on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the first pick.
Okay. What are we drafting?
Rappers.
Rappers?
Purely based on personal preference.
First overall, bro. Are we talking like all time or currently?
All time, but you don't have to necessarily draft someone who's all time. It's all personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
It's your top four.
Well, my top four at the moment.
But one at a time. It's a snake draft.
Oh, one at a time.
It's a snake draft.
You know, it's a tough call. It's a tough call between Young Thug and Travis Scott right now.
Whoa.
But I would probably have to go with Young Thug.
Can you expand on that pick a little bit more?
Young Thug is the modern Tupac.
Really?
Genuinely. He is doing stuff in rap that no one else has done since Chief Keef. When Chief Keef blew up in 2016 when he was a 16-year-old. Or no, wait. He blew up in 2014 when he was a 16-year-old. When Chief Keef blew up, he essentially revolutionized trap. If you look at any of the modern bangers that are coming out from like Lil Pump to Smoke Perp to Trippie Redd, like any of the modern SoundCloud rappers, they're all hailing from the one and only Chief Keef. Now, aside from Chief Keef, the second most revolutionary man in hip-hop is Young Thug, because Young Thug conveys certain emotions with his words that no other artist can do since perhaps even like Freddie Mercury, right? And he's doing it in rap, which is revolutionary. Young Thug has made it cool to sing in rap songs. And it's not R&B, it's not soul, it's not like him in directly singing, but he is rapping with intonations and inflections that are completely unique. No one else has any sound even remotely close to him. And that being said, I still can only understand about maybe 75% of the Young Thug lyrics, but it is truly something else. Listening to Young Thug is a religious experience, and I would strongly recommend Beautiful Thugger Girls if you have not listened to it already.
Breaking news. I was just followed by a badass Twitter name. Vendetta Media.
Wow, sounds edgy.
Yeah.
Do you think they work for Anonymous?
Maybe.
Do you think they're a hacker? Are they trying to take down Trump's administration from the inside? Are they hacking whitehouse.gov?
No. Do we want to get into that realm?
No.
Okay, yeah, it's complicated. Nothing's going to change. Breaking news to everyone in the world.
I voted too,
but...
I voted in the local election.
I couldn't vote.
I registered as a Republican just so I could vote against Mitt Romney. I was like, I don't want Mitt Romney.
You don't want Mitt Romney?
No.
Dope.
Salt Lake Drake is not for me.
Salt Lake Drake. I made that comparison. Thank you very much. I'm going to credit myself for that one. He is the Salt Lake Drake, though. Truly is.
No, he's not. I have a funny story about Mitt Romney.
Uh-huh.
One of my friend's older brothers lives in the same neighborhood as Mitt Romney. Very, very affluent area, Walker Lane. Anyway.
That's near my house.
Yeah, it's right by here.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Mitt Romney.
His older brother is a bit of a stoner, and he's outside and he's smoking the marijuana and the devil's lettuce on his front yard. And Mitt Romney is walking his dog and walks by and takes a deep whiff of the air and says, "How's the marijuana today?" This is 100% legitimate. This happened 2 weeks ago. Mitt Romney saw my friend's older brother smoking weed and asked him, "How is the marijuana today?" That's my claim to fame. Seven levels of separation, bro. Seven levels of separation.
That's it? That's the whole story?
Mitt Romney didn't call the cops. I think that's impressive.
That is impressive.
And he knew what it smelled like, and he was, and he...
He
had a little conversation about it.
I'm pretty sure the... Alright, let's just be honest here. Like, everyone knows what marijuana smells like. Like, even if you're the staunchest, like, marijuana opposer, at some point in every person's life, they are going to be around marijuana and know what it smells like.
But it's
like
Mitt Romney, a politician that kisses babies. I don't want him in office if he smokes weed. Like, that's degeneracy.
But hey, buddy, like, weed's been around forever, bro.
Degeneracy on all forms. Okay, Mount Rushmore, what's your pickup?
Wait, no. We gotta stick to this one. I'm sorry. So you would not be cool with Mitt Romney holding office?
I would not be.
If he smoked weed when he was 17 years old.
I would not be.
When he was 17 years old.
I would not be. Did you see...
What's the difference between that and Bobby Shmurda, then?
Bobby Shmurda was wrongfully imprisoned, bro. I'm not saying Bobby Shmurda should run our country. I'm saying he should be free. I'm saying his rights as a citizen should be upheld.
Okay, why are you so against Mitt Romney at some point in his life maybe smoking weed?
I don't think Mitt Romney... I just don't want a president that's broken the law.
Bill Clinton smoked weed.
I wouldn't have voted for Bill Clinton either.
Barack Obama smoked weed.
I was too young to vote.
George W. Bush smoked weed.
No, he didn't.
Smoked weed. Yeah, he did.
Degeneracy on all levels. And look at where they've gotten us. What are we, like $23 trillion in debt?
And you're going to blame that all on weed?
Yes. It's the purest form of degeneracy. Okay, Mount Rushmore, who's your pick? Mount Rushmore, who's your pick?
I did not know you had that take on marijuana use.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Who's your pick?
My guy.
Who's your pick, Mount Rushmore? Rapper.
Kendrick Lamar, easy. Number one right now. I think he's making a run for the greatest of all time. Like, everything he has done, you can't point to anything that's bad. You can point to things...
I'd say the Black Panther soundtrack was not as good.
You can point to things and say, meh, it's not as good as his other stuff, mm-hmm. but you can't point to anything and say, that's a bad album.
True. Okay, who's your second pick, Snake Draft?
All right, true. I forgot. We only have two people, so we can go back and forth.
Back
I don't
forth?
Care.
Okay,
yeah.
I take 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz has not
oh,
made...
damn.
Has not made
I thought
a
he'd last longer,
song.
Honestly.
2 Chainz has never made a bad song, has never been featured on a bad song. Even when he remixed an EDM song, he somehow made the song good. 2 Chainz has an uncanny ability to make any song a trap anthem. So that's why I take 2 Chainz.
Damn, I agree.
Yes.
Like,
wholeheartedly. 2 Chainz.
I honestly didn't think he'd go that early, but... He was going to be on my Mount Rushmore.
He's on mine now.
2 Chainz.
All right.
All right.
Have you heard 3500?
Yes,
Travis
I have.
Scott and 2 Chainz?
Well, no, I haven't.
It's a very good song.
I will listen to that after this.
All right, who's your pick?
Yeah, I froze for a moment. You know, you keep going all these new school guys, so I'm going to have to continue the pattern of repping the old school a little
Kendrick
bit.
Lamar's not old school.
He's a little bit old school. Number two, got to be Dr. Dre.
Dre.
I mean, okay.
Let me brush purely, the dust off my spectacles so I can have a conversation with you, Grandpa.
Purely as a rapper, maybe he's not the best of all time as far as lyricism and, like, flow goes. But
he's not even top five of anything.
If you... I cannot stand for this slander. If you look at legitimately any rap artist that is topping the game from the West Coast right now, they have deep influence from Dr. Dre. Either he found them, or someone he found them, or someone, or it's a tree. Everything in the West Coast leads back to Dr. Dre. He still produces bangers. He has never produced anything, any beat that is not an instant classic. He has never produced a bad album. He made Snoop Dogg go hard on a song. Snoop Dogg like
always goes hard.
No, not like Snoop Dogg hard, but like legitimately hard, like spit the vowels, like not the laid back kind of chill stoned out tone that Snoop Dogg normally has. Like, I think you can make a very strong argument for Dr. Dre being number two on Mount Rushmore.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going with Kanye West, bro. I just don't see how.
It's a good pick.
I just don't see how your Mount Rushmore is even going to compete with 2 Chainz, Kanye West, and Young Thug. I mean, this is perhaps the greatest trio already, and you haven't even gotten to my 4th pick yet. You are leaving some very big names on the table right now, my friend. Kanye West. No man has singly influenced hip-hop more since 2001 when he released The College Dropout more than Kanye West. If you want to talk about a visionary, someone who sees the future, someone who is literally just channeling the universe's art into what he sees as the most adequate form of art, it is Kanye West. He made pink polos cool. He was rapping in backpacks and pink polos. And then he was like, nah, pink polos aren't cool anymore. And he single-handedly started the artistically worn, like the tattered, what's it called? Distressed. He started the distressed clothing trend. That was Kanye West. That was Yeezy season 1, was the distressed clothing trend. You look at major designers now, Givenchy, Balenciaga, like Gucci, they're all doing artfully distressed. That is from Kanye West in 2011 when he was with Nike. If you look in terms of shoes and influence in shoe culture, when Kanye West signed with Nike, he pioneered rap artists designing shoes. If you look at Pharrell, who has some of the biggest shoes with Adidas right now, like none of that would have been possible without Kanye West. And now you just look at music. Every single song today has a sample in it. Every single song starts from a sample. That's Kanye West. When Kanye West in 2001 and 2002 was spending 18 hours a day locked in his own basement combing over free recordings. Do you know why he samples in his music? Because when he was so broke when he was making his music, he would buy the 30-second clips of songs. Like, he wouldn't buy the songs. He'd get the 30-second sample that when you play on, like, iTunes, you know? But this is before iTunes, right? So this is like, from the artists themselves. He's like, can I hear this song? And that, like, I'd like to buy it. Can I hear a clip of it? And he'd just record the clip. And then he'd remix it, and he would create entire beats of it. Do you know how much music Kanye West listened to produce the 5 albums that he dropped this summer?
No.
How many hours? He spent over 16,000 hours combing over old music tapes.
Jesus Christ.
They spent something like 60 grand on just CDs and cassette tapes to find the samples. One of the songs that he sampled in Pusha T's, like, in Baby Come Back, you know the song that samples in Baby Come Back? That is a song from 2008 on YouTube. It was one of the original, like, it was, like, during the first year of YouTube.
You don't have to tell me, my dude. Like, Fourth Dimension, legitimately my favorite song on Kids See Ghosts, it's a fucking 1940s Christmas song.
Yeah.
And he turns it
into a banger
with dropping, like, 4 of a rhythmic, like, cues in it. Like, yeah. It's uncanny, like, the ability he has to make and blend music, and that's a great pick. I have a feeling I'm gonna leave everyone you want on the board, but this is... I'd like to say Pusha T with this pick. I really would. But I feel like Daytona is the only thing I can look at and say, oh my god, when people look back at Pusha T, they're going to remember him for Daytona. That's... That's what I look at Pusha T as.
Man, I disagree, but
fair enough. So I'm going to leave him on the board for you.
I'm not taking him.
Third pick. It's got to be Eminem.
Of course.
I love Eminem.
I was surprised you didn't take him first overall, honestly.
Like, I get it. He hasn't produced anything noteworthy since 2016.
What did he produce in 2016 that was noteworthy?
Marshall Mathers LP2.
That wasn't noteworthy.
It was a banger. He hasn't been relevant since really 2010. It's been a rough time for Eminem recently.
I'd like to quote J. Cole on this one. When you realize you only popped because you were riding trends and the money starts to slow up. Eminem, great businessman. He had a long career. He had a long career, but he only popped because he was riding trends. In 2001, in like 1999, when he started blowing up, right, he popped because the world was ready for the vulgarity, for the obscenities. The world was ready to be shocked, and we couldn't get enough of it. So I would even go as far as to attribute Eminem with how today's news cycle is, with the shock and awe and the gruesome and the horror of selling views. And Eminem did pioneer selling views, and Eminem did pioneer the SoundCloud rap generation.
Yeah.
But Eminem did it lyrically instead of with face tats. So
exactly.
So I'd give credit to
him. He is one of the best. I would say he is the best lyricist of all time. But his ability to just bend, even in his bad stuff where he's not going super hard, and the beat isn't there, and he just seems like he's reaching for straws, he'll throw in like four or five bits of clever wordplay, and you're like, oh my god, like why couldn't I think of that? Like that is some of the most clever shit in the world, and I couldn't think of that. Like yeah. That's.
I would say Lil Wayne rivals him.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd say Lil Wayne and Young Thug rattle him lyrically.
All right. Okay. Your final pick.
My final pick. There's a lot of pressure on this one to be a big one. Let's see. So I already have Young Thug,
2 Chainz, and
Kanye West. What would round out my top four better than the man himself, who pioneered coming from nothing to something, who literally wrote the book on getting rich and staying rich?
Damn it.
I'm not talking about any rapper here who's making a couple million. I'm talking about the man himself, Jay-Z, is my fourth overall pick.
That's a very solid fourth overall pick.
Jay-Z and Beyonce together are worth upwards of $1.3
billion. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
$1.3 billion. $800 million of that is Jay-Z. The other $500 million is Beyonce.
Here's my argument against Jay-Z. A, you're right. He is the best businessman in rap. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. No one can debate that.
Mm-hmm.
But since the
Maybe Diddy.
Since the Blueprint, he just hasn't put out a record where you can say every song on it a classic. Since the Blueprint.
Okay.
And then he decided to launch Tidal. And I get it. Tidal was a good idea in principle. But if you ask anyone in the industry, they'll say that Tidal overall was a failure. And he has decided, instead of taking the Young Thug image, the 2 Chainz, the every other rapper out there, and instead of making his music public to people who will pay for Spotify and pay for SoundCloud, he has said, no, I'm going to make you pay $50 to listen to 4 of my albums, and that's it. There's nothing else on my music service. It's me. And that's it. And
in that
way, he secludes himself to the world. Because who the fuck's going to pay $50 in today's world to listen to 4 Jay-Z albums? Like, I still haven't heard 444.
444 was a phenomenal album. I would strongly recommend doing the free trial of Tidal. And I myself, Eric, am considering moving to Tidal over Spotify. My sister got a free trial because she wanted to listen to the Beyonce and Jay-Z album. She wanted to listen to
which Carter's. Got leaked on Spotify.
But... Well, it didn't get leaked. They released it on Spotify.
Which
you
is
can't leak on Spotify.
I don't know. Well, why doesn't he put 444 on Spotify then? It's been a fucking year.
I know. Now I'm not saying you're wrong. If you look at Jay-Z and I'm talking about his impact that he had on the rap industry and the rap game. He pioneered artists owning their own labels. He pioneered just, if you look at the modern sound, if you look at the construction of rap songs today, and you look at the way that the flows are going, not as much with the SoundCloud generation, not as much with the changes that Young Thug has made to it, not as much with that, but if you look at rap, like if you look at you mentioned Pusha T. If you look at Cardi B, like, if you look at Migos, any big name, Drake, like, whoever you're listening to, they are inspired by Jay-Z. Arguably.
That's a true point.
And the thing about Jay-Z is he rented out the Louvre, man.
Yeah.
That's his cultural impact. You could have all the money in the world, but if you don't have a cultural impact, you can't rent out the Louvre, man. He rented out the entire Louvre. Not just one building at a time. The Louvre has 5 buildings that are all connected. There's 5 wings to the Louvre. He rented out all of them for a week just to shoot his music videos. They shut down the biggest museum in the world. We're talking like one of the modern day wonders of the world. Like, you know, the one of the wonders, the Library of Alexander? People are saying that the Louvre in 20 years is going to be bigger than the Library of Alexander. And that's where Jay-Z was like, yeah, I want my rap music video here. He's like, let's get some weird-ass dancers on these steps. He's like, let me pose with the Mona Lisa. Jay-Z is just phenomenal. Okay, who's your fourth pick?
I gotta go J. Cole.
Fuck J. Cole.
Okay, no, but listen. 4 platinums, no features. Like, this guy is legitimately standalone.
No,
he is standalone, the best rapper alone, solo, in the game. How many rappers can say that they have had no features on their albums and gone platinum?
While that is an impressive feat, I would counter that by saying, fuck J. Cole. Because the reason why J. Cole is... Listen. Hear me out. Our more informed listeners will realize the reference that I just made. I don't think you got it because you're not deeply vested in SoundCloud rap or the up-and-coming generation. But no, I agree. J. Cole has done an incredible feat. But he has done it not on the backs of... actually saying anything meaningful. He markets himself as a woke rapper, and he did start that trend. I will give him that, of rappers trying to having commentary on social issues and trying to make a change in their community and trying to positively influence the world. That being said, J. Cole appeals to the lowest common denominator of basically pretty much philosophy 101. You take philosophy 101 and you're like, oh, this is really deep. Like, you know where J. Cole gets his lyrics from, bro? Edgy Tumblr posts. J. Cole,
it's not true.
It is very true.
It's not true.
Go on Tumblr and tell me you don't see J. Cole it's lyrics fake everywhere, bro. Everywhere. J. Cole.
After he's put him out, yeah.
Lowest common denominator. The reason why he's successful is because his music sounds deep. And it sounds inspiring. And it sounds different. It is definitely different. But what J. Cole has done is he has figured out how to appeal to the lowest common denominator of what people want to listen to. And additionally, J. Cole has found a way to while both providing gangster rap, like if you look at Out of Sight, Out of Mind, off of the most recent J-Rock album, Out of Sight, Out of Mind, phenomenal song, right? And J. Cole's literally rapping about a robbery that went wrong where they shoot somebody. Out of Sight, Out of Mind. It's crazy. And do I believe that J. Cole came from questionable background where he had to do things that I'm sure he is not proud of? Undoubtedly. But J. Cole... his appeal is with people who struggle to reconcile the morality of hip-hop and rap, of its glorifying violence and drugs and all that, and at the same time, they like listening to rap because it sounds good, and who doesn't like listening
to
rap?
But at the same time, that's the glory of J. Cole. If he can realize... he is a living example of human contradiction.
No.
We legitimately all say that we hate these things, but somewhere deep down, there is a part of us that is entertained by violence and these types of things.
Yeah.
For legitimately anything. You could talk about this with any subject. I've been listening to this podcast by the Washington Post about the presidents. Like, you think about, like, fucking Thomas Jefferson. Like... the contradictory statements that are made by humans have always been there. It's part of human nature. We contradict ourselves.
I'm not criticizing him for contradicting himself. Because when he, in Out of Sight, Out of Mind, it's him talking about dealing with the pressures of fame using the murder as an analogy or whatever. And mostly it's J-Rock talking about shooting somebody anyway. But the thing about J. Cole is he has found what people like to listen to. And so I will give you that. But I would say that it's all surface level, and that if you want to look at rap artists that are making significant change, you're gonna have to look to Meek Mill. You're gonna have to look to Gucci Mane. Gucci Mane's autobiography, life changing, bro. Life changing. Cannot recommend it strongly enough. Okay, you want to look at XXXTentacion. If you're looking at an artist that has changed and then tried to make a positive impact, rest his soul.
J. Cole has tried to make a positive impact.
No, he has, but his music is just so boiled down. It's so distilled into just the most basic, obvious concepts ever, put over decent beats with good production. And lyrically, yes, he is talented lyrically, and people like listening to his voice, and he has a cool voice, and his sound, his entire sound, and what he comes across as is good, but J. Cole is not a rapper.
Oh, that's a very... he is.
J. Cole is not a rapper.
Why? Well, okay, first, let's define rapper.
I would say someone, well, honestly, a rapper is someone that makes rap music, and J. Cole doesn't make rap
music. What is rap music?
What is rap music?
Define it.
I would say that rap music is the embracing of music as a way to express yourself, but specifically through like storytelling, and it's generally less musical. It's more about the beat. It's less about the voice inflections and whatnot.
Okay.
It's less pitch. You don't need to be pitch perfect to rap.
Okay. Let's.
And it's defined by the lack of repetition.
Okay. Let me make a point here. You said it tells a life story, correct?
Yes.
When has J. Cole not told a life story?
Dude, when has J. Cole told anything other than a life story?
Right. Then, by your definition, he is a rapper.
J. Cole's not a rapper, and I'll break it down for you. I have two reasons why J. Cole is not a rapper. First of all, J. Cole is not a rapper because, like I said, he is just mass appeal. That is what he has figured out.
Rapper.
He's cracked the code.
Oh my god, Jay-Z is mass appeal.
No. That's mass appeal because they're good. J. Cole, literally, his appeal lies in his lyrics that he has written, which are not rap lyrics. If you want to talk about, I just don't classify J. Cole as a rapper. Do I listen to his music? Yes. But still, at the same time, I'm out here with my hands in the air at the Lil Pump concert yelling, fuck J. Cole, bro. That's what I'm here for.
These are just some wildly bad takes have come out of this.
I don't think it's a bad take to say fuck J. Cole.
Okay. Some people we left off are Mount Rushmores. Anyone? Oh, Lil Wayne. I've recently gotten into him a lot.
Lil Wayne's good. He got fucked around by Birdman.
He's
so
probably not. He's definitely not top four. Drake got left off our list when
Drake's not even.
When
top,
I think
top 50,
when man. I think 6 months ago he would have been at the top of your list, to be honest with you. Other notable names, Snoop Dogg didn't get down on it. Neither did Ice Cube or Eazy-E, two of the pioneers of the. Now, of course, I said this was personal, but it is interesting that two of the pioneers of hip hop as we know it today didn't make it. Tupac, Biggie did not make it.
I just don't see the relevance that they have. In today's rap game.
In today's rap game. But you recognize they're relevant.
Not
anymore. They not legitimately... But you understand their importance.
I understand their importance, but I don't think they're relevant.
I mean, it's the same shit, bro. Just different people saying the same shit.
Nah. I would say that Young Thug is more influential than anybody that you just mentioned. I would say that Young Thug is still the number one pick overall of anything ever.
But okay.
You need to listen to some Young Thug, man.
That's just a wildly
bad. You need to listen to some Young.
Just Thug, a wildly so. Bad take. All right.
No, I was where you were. I had the same thing when he dropped Jeffrey. I listened to it. I remember it was my sophomore year. What was that, like 2016, 2015? Right? He drops Jeffrey. I was like, man, fuck Young Thug. I can't hear a word of what he's saying. This sounds like trash. I don't like the beats. None of it's good. But then I matured. I gained some life understanding. My 18 years on this planet, I realized something.
So I'm not mature enough to get Young Thug.
Man, you put Eminem on your Mount Rushmore.
Just because I enjoy Eminem doesn't mean I'm immature.
Eminem was everyone's segue into rap. Because he was white.
Okay, he's a big... This, I don't think you understand the point of a Mount Rushmore. This is personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand, like, Eminem is on my Mount Rushmore because he is how I got into rap.
He's how everyone gets into rap. That's why he's not relevant.
If he's relevant to everyone, how is he not relevant?
It's the same thing as J. Cole. It's mass appeal.
Mass appeal is still mass appeal, bro.
Let me ask you something. Coke or Pepsi, Eric? Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Why?
I don't know. I just like the taste of Coke better than I like the taste of Pepsi.
In double blind studies, this has been proven over and over again. Psychology students do this every year across the nation. In double blind experiments for dark colas, they have 3 cups. They have whatever store brand cola they want to try as a control. Then they have Coke and Pepsi. None of it is labeled. And consistently, I'm talking over 95% here. These are published studies here. And it's been repeated. And that's the mark. If you look in statistics, if you ever take a statistics course and you look at the mark of a good experiment.
Wow, humble brag. You've taken a statistics course.
No, I'm just saying, if you look at, this is statistics. No. In statistics,
okay.
A mark of a good experiment is repeatability. And this experiment has been repeated. Okay. And it's double blind and it's random. People consistently choose Pepsi over Coke. But why is Coke the bigger brand? Branding and mass appeal. You look at the freaking Diet Coke commercials and it has that shitty ass comedian and he's like, you keep doing you and I'll keep doing me, and that's why I like Diet Coke with all these new flavors and whatever. What the fuck does that have to do with Coke? With the amount of sugar or whatever the hell is in it?
What the fuck does a Pepsi commercial have to do with Pepsi?
Nothing. It's all marketing.
Right,
it's
exactly. Marketing. It's the same marketing.
Coke won the marketing battle.
Okay.
If you can,
it's all marketing,
I'd like to quote my favorite Kanye West quote of all time. If you can communicate a product, you can sell a product. Take Lady Gaga, for example. She is the creative director of Polaroid currently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that? I mean, I love Lady Gaga. Like, I like some of the Gaga songs. Like, I have Lady Gaga on my playlist. But what the fuck does she know about cameras? Right? I mean, like, come on. She can communicate a product. When you're selling Polaroid, Lady Gaga isn't selling Polaroid. She's selling herself. Because she has already mass marketed herself into becoming a celebrity. And that's what Coke and Pepsi have done. But Pepsi, not as much. Pepsi lost the battle. But Pepsi is the superior soda. But I still drink Coke. It's branding. It's all branding. And that's why J. Cole and Eminem are not rappers. Eminem's a rapper, but J. Cole isn't.
All right. This is a fair point.
I feel like we've been lacking some football talk on this football podcast.
But I'm having more fun with this talk, actually.
Okay.
But we can talk about football for a quick sec.
We can talk about football for a second.
All right. So let's start with a little bit. So I've known you for a while, just kind of a background. I'm having Walter on because he's, like, legitimately my best friend. We live in the same state. You're welcome, bro. Love you. we live in the same state. I mean, whatever. I don't know why I threw that in there. Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought. But we've known each other for a little while. Walter's a Lions fan. But his family is from kind of a Chicago area.
Yes.
And his dad's like the most diehard Cubs, Bears, and Blackhawks fan you'll ever meet.
This is true.
How did you become a Lions fan?
How did I become a Lions fan? Well, that's a fun story. So up until I was like 8 or 9 or 10 or whenever it was, maybe 11, like up until I was kind of getting the upper single digits, right? I was a Bears fan. My dad had, I had all the Bears gear. We'd go to like Sweet Home Chicago Pizzeria and get like a deep dish pizza on Sundays and like watch the game or whatever, right? And one of my friends growing up, his dad was also from Chicago. He was a Bears fan. They were like Bears fans together. I was a Bears fan. I was all in on the Bears. But then Calvin Johnson came along, and I was like, damn, he's pretty lit. I'd see him in their rivalry games, right? I'd see him in the NFC North rivalry games. And I was like, holy shit, he is good. Because for a long time, Calvin Johnson, best receiver in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Right? And that was before Stafford even came to the Lions. But when Stafford got drafted by the Lions, first of all, I saw Stafford play live when he came and played Utah, when Georgia came and played Utah. And so the thing about it, I was just like, oh, that's cool. I was like, I know him. And now he's throwing to my favorite receiver in the game? I was like, shit, I should just become a Lions fan. Plus, it was funny seeing my dad's reaction when I told him he was a Lions fan. Like, he tried to disown me. He was like, no. You know, he was like, this is just a phase. But it's been like a 10-year phase. So I'm still rolling with it. And it's a good, unique team to cheer for. It's like cheering for the Jazz. Have they ever won a championship?
No.
No. Will they in the future? Probably not. But they're still fun to watch. You know, it's still a high quality organization, and I'm a fan, so yeah.
Oh, all right. So, what drew you to like Calvin Johnson? I guess
He was good. Same reason why I'm kind of like a low key Giants fan, because Odell is good. I'm a star chaser, and I'm willing to admit it. I'm an LA Lakers fan, but I was a Lakers fan last year before the LeBron rumors even started because of Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball.
True. I'm a big Kyle Kuzma guy.
Brandon Ingram. I became a Lakers fan the year before they got LeBron, and I know that I can never tell a living soul that I'm a Lakers fan when I introduce myself, because they're just going to think I'm a bandwagoner, and I don't want to become like a Golden State fan. So I'm still going with Jazz in the NBA.
I feel you, bro. Like, I'm a fan of, like, I'm that way with the NBA. Like, I'm a fan of the Thunder because I fucking love Russell Westbrook. And all
Russell Westbrook.
Also, okay. Fuck you.
Did you see what he's such an asshole, man.
He is an asshole.
He was an asshole when he came to Utah.
He's an
disrespectful. He's a crybaby. He's a good player. And I was a Russell Westbrook fan until this year.
He's an asshole.
Until this year, I was a Russell Westbrook.
True. But sometimes the world needs an asshole.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson is that asshole. But now I'm a Spurs fan, too. Because Jakob Poeltl is a Spur.
You got traded to the Spurs?
Yeah, you didn't hear?
No.
There's massive NBA trade news today. Kawhi to the Raptors.
Well, I saw that, and I saw that Kawhi like came out and was like, sources are saying that he doesn't want to play for the Raptors.
Yeah. No, duh.
Oh, my God. That's so...
Yeah, no. So DeMar DeRozan was in that, but also Jakob, who was like one of my favorite youths of all time. So.
I was at the dentist this morning, and I was watching Undisputed with Skip and Shannon or whatever, right?
I don't...
And they were just wailing on Kawhi. They're like the quitter. I was like, man, just let him play in LA.
Is that what you prefer?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. No. Sports media these days is gross, and
that's what we're partaking in right now. Is sports media.
But no, we're not really. We're not Undisputed. We'd never sink that low. Although we did just spend an hour arguing about rappers.
Yeah.
So. You know, all right. Let's talk about Matthew Stafford. Give me a ranking. Like, where is Matthew Stafford right now in NFL quarterbacks?
Give right me a number. Now, I would say he's number 6. After this season, he's gonna be top 5. I'm saying probably 4 or 3.
I wouldn't argue with that ranking. I'd say probably 8 or 9.
Really, 8 or 9 right now. Yeah, I mean, like the guys you put ahead of him. The one thing that they have in common is they have a running back on their team, and the Lions have not had a running back for the past 4 years. So yes, their wide receiver core is deep, as I'm sure all of our listeners know. But yeah, I think the Lions. How do you know how many fumbles they had a game last season? It was upwards of 2, because I watched every game and it was rough to watch. They had a lot of fumbles, and it was all running. It was all running.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for LeGarrette Blount to be on the Lions. It should be an exciting year. I see you have their ceiling at, like, what, 12 wins?
Yeah.
That was the ceiling?
Yeah.
Could you tell me about that a little bit? Because, I mean, I'm a Lions fan, and that seems ambitious. Like, I'm hoping for 10 wins.
Oh. Here. Like, the The wide receiving core is extremely deep with Marvin Jones Jr., with Golden Tate. Kenny Golladay, a guy who does not get enough love.
Golladay season.
He was
Golladay season.
Fantastic early last year, and then when the offensive line started to struggle, his production went down because Matthew Stafford got hit.
Well, he was a rookie.
Yeah, but also the offensive line struggled. I mean, offensive line, like, how you feeling about that this year? Do you think they did, like, enough? Were you really tracking the moves the offensive line made this offseason?
I was not in-depth tracking it, but I have been noticing the progression of the Lions' offensive line over the last couple of years. And Stafford's gone from getting hit, like, what, like 15 times a game to getting hit a lot less? So that's always good, especially as he gets later in his career and he's getting paid more and more money. I would hate to see that be just taken up by injury. But, I think that our offensive line is in a position to give the running backs the gaps they need and to protect Stafford when he needs protection. But we've never had a running back yet, so it's still just hard to play offense when you're so one-sided as the Lions. It was truly all in the air for a couple of years back there, which was rough.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit. Let's play some over-under with Matthew Stafford's stats this upcoming year.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 27.5 touchdowns.
I'm going to go under, because they have a running back now, so they don't need to just throw it when they're on the two-yard line. And they're not going to be scared of fumbling as much, so I'm going to go under.
Why are you so high on this running game?
The Lions have never had a running back, dude. I'm excited for a running back, okay? Like, dude, Amir Abdullah was brutal. I had him on my fantasy football team. That was rough. That was rough to watch. I started him in flex, and I lost a couple weeks because of that. Because he would just fumble, and it would be, like, minus 6 points, bro. Because, like, he loses the fumble, and then and it's a turnover. So.
Why do you believe in LeGarrette Blount so much? He's never been a number one heavy usage running back.
That's true, but he stuttered under the best running back in the game for a while, the most revolutionary running back, Le'Veon Bell. I would say the best running back in the league is Todd Gurley. I'm a big Todd Gurley fan. But I think, truly, anything that is not just, like, a shit running back... Seriously, there's backup running backs on teams that would make the Lions running backs in years past look, just put them to shame, honestly. Like, there's been such a lack of talent at running back for the Lions for the longest time. I'm pretty sure... I don't know. I'd like to look up the actual play-calling stats, but I think when I was watching one of the games... They showed their like the plays that they ran, and it was over like 70% passing plays.
Yeah,
and you can't run.
That's right.
You can't run an NFL team like that. You cannot be successful.
No, I remember the stat. They run 74.5%.
Yeah, it's obscene. Passing. They literally. It's like Matthew Stafford.
It's disgusting.
Every single time.
Absolutely. Okay. Passing yardage. 4,300.5 yards.
Again, I'm just going to have to go under. I think that Stafford is going to...
Damn, how heavily do you think they're going to run the ball?
No, I think that they're going to exploit that teams are anticipating so much passing.
Okay.
I think that Matthew Stafford is going to become more of a game manager and less of a quarterback. He's going to follow Alex Smith's path.
And you're okay with that as a Lions fan?
I mean, if it wins us games, if we're not winning games because of it, I just think that.
Because honestly, you
know, 4,300. I don't know. It's gonna be close. I think it's gonna be close to that.
Bro,
are you taking the over on that?
Yeah, I'm taking the over on both those.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm pretty confident on that.
Dude, did you watch a lot of Lions games last year? So you saw them get into the red zone 4 times and score on 0 of those in back-to-back games.
Yeah, that was late in the season.
Yeah.
What I saw, hold on, let me tell you what I saw. I saw the first 4 weeks of the season when Matthew Stafford looked like an MVP candidate.
I remember that. Those were good memories. When I had hope for the season.
I saw those first 4 games when the offensive line protected him well, mm-hmm. when he was able to use his mobility, which is thoroughly underrated. Matthew Stafford's
has a big beaver from the South, bro. He doesn't have mobility.
Matthew Stafford, are you watching, bro? I mean, like his mobility
on the run,
is insane. His pocket awareness is way better than I give than people I think give him credit for. Like,
but he can't run the ball.
No, he can't run the ball. But
he can scramble.
His scrambling ability, like, he's not Russell Wilson, but he's definitely not like Tom Brady. He's not gonna stamp. By the way, Tom Brady can scramble now. His pocket movement really did improve a lot last year.
I don't give a shit. He's old as fuck. Both his knees are going to blow out in a game this season, bro. I'm telling you now. He's going to get hit by a big linebacker, and he's just going to die.
Hey.
Both his knees are going to explode at the same time.
You know me, man. I'm always praying for a Tom Brady ACL injury.
His back's going to fracture. Like, you know what happened to Tony Romo?
Right.
That was how old was Tony Romo when that happened? Like, 34, 35?
Yeah, probably.
How old's Brady? Like 41?
Old as shit.
It's a matter of time before that compression fracture just kills him. Like, he's going to be paralyzed the waist down, man. Literally right now, he's playing with not being able to walk in 5 years.
Please, dear God.
Someone hit him in the head.
Hashtag fuck Tom Brady.
Yes.
Tweet at us. Okay, so... Kerryon Johnson. You like that?
I don't. I'm more excited about LeGarrette Blount.
I just don't understand LeBlount. I really? Don't understand your Blount excitement. Because even in Philadelphia, like, he had 3 or 4 good carries, but, like, he is not getting touches, and he relies so heavily on having a great, like, elite offensive line.
While that is true.
Like, he went... True, he
the
went,
thing about Philadelphia...
When he went to the Patriots, he struggled insanely, like, so much, and they had a mediocre offensive line. When he was with the Steelers, one of the best offensive lines in the league, and the Philadelphia Eagles, the best offensive line in the league, he had success.
Okay, but the thing about the Philadelphia Eagles is they were literally splitting carries between 4 running backs last year.
I know. The Detroit Lions are going to do that this year. I guarantee.
They're going to split between Amir Abdullah and him.
And Kerryon Johnson.
There's no way they're splitting with... I mean, like, he might get, like...
He's legitimately a second-round pick, but some draft experts had rated as, like, the third-best running back in the draft.
I know, but he's still a rookie. He's not going to be getting heavy touches, bro.
Have you not been watching the NFL lately? Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook... Like, hell, I could name Kareem Hunt.
There is breakout Let me talent. Name yes, there is breakout talent.
Kareem Hunt was a fucking third rounder. And
I know. There's always going to be flyers, bro. But in the Lions organization,
running back class this year is so deep.
Maybe the first 3 games they'll split carries, but I highly believe that as the season progresses, they're going to pick a horse. Blount's going to be the big man.
All right. Okay. You like the defense?
I mean, it's never been our strongest point. I'm a Ziggy Ansah fan. I like him. But there's no pass rushing at all, as you said. And our secondary is all right, but, like, truly...
Your secondary is really good, actually. Darius Slay, I would say, is one of the top 5 cornerbacks in the league right now.
He is. For a while, I was doing IDP research because I was like, I'll play some daily IDP.
Bro.
And it took Darius Slay a couple times.
I'm putting together a fucked up fantasy league. Now it is.
I'm so down.
It is going to be on ESPN, but for.
No, make it.
For
make
run.
It
no. Here's the reason. We're going to draft head coaches.
You can draft coaches in Yahoo.
You can?
Yeah.
All right, I'll set it up. But it's going to be kickers. Punters.
Dude, our kicker league last year was so fucked.
Kickers.
Dude, I lost so many games by like half a point because the yardages you put in were fucking...
Kickers, punters, IDPs, coaches, and I think you can draft GMs, actually. So.
You can draft GMs?
Bro.
How does a coach get points?
I don't know.
Is it like wins?
I don't know.
I think it might be just wins.
That's the beauty of it, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We'll have like... A one-man offensive roster. Like, you'll have a quarterback, a wide receiver,
one of all of them.
And a tight end. And just in, like, an IDP roster plus, like, 3 kickers and 2 punters.
Damn, that's a lot.
With, like, 6. But it's a 6. There'll be, like, 6 people in the league.
That's still going to be obscene. I'm excited.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I already have 3. So now we're just looking for 2 more.
Nice.
And we're set. But if you're in...
I'm definitely in.
That's great.
100%.
All right. Okay, kid. What's for record prediction this year?
I mean, I'm looking at the ceiling that you have right here, 12-4, and the floor of 6-10. And I think that...
It's my phone.
What the hell?
That's my house phone.
Okay. I'm looking at the... honestly,
the abrupt pause.
I think 10-6. I think 10-6. I'm gonna be very mid. Like I don't think they're gonna get much above 12 wins. I mean, 10 wins.
Got a tough schedule.
Yeah, and that's why. It's like, I love being a Lions fan. The team can look good as shit, but it's just.
I think it's gonna be 8-8.
You think it's gonna be 8-8? I think we're gonna break 500.
I think it could be 9-7.
I think it could be 9-7. I'd really like to see
somewhere between 8-8 and 10-6, but it's not gonna be worse than 8-8. It's just too talented a team to be worse than 8-8.
Yeah.
What
do you think about the rest of the NFC North? What do you think about Minnesota this year? Do you think they're gonna come back strong again?
Yeah, I'm actually honestly not sure about Minnesota. It's like one of the teams that I haven't done roster research on yet.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Kirk Cousins, but...
Man, I don't like Minnesota.
I'm not sure if I can buy... I'm not sure if I can buy into him, because I feel like he's just what Case Keenum gave him last year, but he's consistent.
So the big question is, do you think the Lions can compete with Green Bay for first seed in the NFC North?
A, I think you and I are alone in thinking that Green Bay is going to be that good this year. Because people in, like, the NFL, like, quote, blogging community, which you've gotten deep into,
uh-huh.
and the NFL Twitter community,
mm-hmm.
do not like Green Bay's chances this year of being even, like, most people have them at, like, 9-7, which I think is fucking obscene.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Packers are going 13-3, and I think they're going to be the number one seed, and I think they're going to win the division.
I mean, they have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Easily. And they improved their secondary, and they improved their defensive line, and they improved their linebackers. And, I mean, they didn't improve their linebackers. That's a fucking lie. They improved their secondary by drafting Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson. Got HaHa Clint Dix. Kevin King is going to come back and just have a killer year. The Bears are going to be good this year, too. Silently, the NFC North may be the best division in football.
I could run with that because of the Lions and Green Bay and Minnesota, but not the Bears.
Okay, well, let me just tell you a little bit about what the Bears have done this offseason. They've brought in an offensive-minded head coach instead of a dumbass in John Fox. as much as I love John Fox, God rest his soul, former Broncos coach,
mm-hmm.
fuck that guy. He's not a great offensive coach. He leaned on Peyton Manning throughout the Denver Broncos years and was totally exposed to just being like an awful coach. Yes, he can coach defense, does not have offense. They brought in the Chiefs offensive coordinator from last year who gave Alex Smith, the guy who they said was going to be a game manager his entire life, legitimately a shot at maybe competing for an MVP season with 2 weeks left to go in the season.
Yes.
And they brought in Allen Robinson, the Jaguars' number one wide receiver. Taylor Gabriel, the Falcons' speedy receiving threat. And... they brought in Trey Burton, the Philadelphia Eagles backup tight end who had a huge impact in the playoffs last year behind Nick Foles as his quarterback. They also have Mitchell Trubisky, who at points...
Mitch the bitch.
Who at points...
Mitch the bitch.
Who at points...
Fuck Mitch Trubisky.
Who at points... looks like Aaron Rodgers.
No,
he has moments where he shows flashes of Aaron Rodgers.
No.
You don't watch the Bears. Shut up, Walter.
This is just getting obscene.
No, bro. Your takes are bad on the NFC.
What do you think about the Browns? What do you think about the Browns?
The roster's there, but I'm never...
I'm seeing 8-8.
The roster's there, but I'm never going to believe in the Browns until I see the Browns do... what?
Josh Gordon is the best receiver in the NFL.
That's a hot take.
In terms of raw talent, there is not a receiver except for maybe Odell and Antonio Brown. I would say Josh Gordon is up there. I'd say Josh Gordon, talent-wise, is comparable to Julio Jones. Except Josh Gordon gets in the end zone, unlike Julio Jones.
I could slightly feel that.
Mans has been suspended because he's been a dumbass the last 2 years.
I mean, here's the thing with Cleveland. Every year, I get pulled into the trap of believing in the Cleveland Browns, and I say something incredibly stupid. Like, last year, I said the Cleveland Browns will go 10-6 and challenge for a wild card spot. I was wildly wrong, and they went 0-16. And this year, I love the roster. I think the quarterback room is immensely talented. I really like Tyrod Taylor. Baker Mayfield is a great quarterback. I really like the running backs. I love Carlos Hyde. I think he's a top 10 running back in the league. I think he's a top 10 fantasy back.
Yeah. The thing about it, though, is, like, my thing with the Browns is I've been a Browns fan for the last 2 years. And primarily it's because I'm hoping that Johnny Manziel will one day make a comeback to the NFL. I've not given up on that yet. But, I don't know. Do you think Johnny Manziel is going to come back and play?
No. Well, not in the next 5 years.
I think he's going to come back in 2 years. I think he's going to be signed to a practice squad.
What are we talking about? Playing the NFL or play NFL. As a starter?
And just on an NFL roster. Oh, yeah. I think he's going to be a starter in 3 years, 4 years.
No, I think he'll be back in the league in 3 or 4 years. And then he might be able to get a starting job. I don't think he'll never be a starter. Like,
yeah, he will, bro. I believe
he's gonna age.
He's gonna come back and he's gonna bring a championship to Cleveland, bro. He's gonna be the LeBron James of football.
Mayfield's pretty fucking good.
Dude, Baker Mayfield's my favorite player in the NFL right now.
He's pretty fucking good.
I love Baker Mayfield.
I don't know. I think the Browns are going 4-12, but they could go 12-4.
They could go 12-4.
They could, bro.
I don't know about that one, bro.
They could, bro. They have the talent.
Yeah.
But they're gonna go for it.
Truly.
So, kid. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. It was a good time. Maybe we'll have you back for before you head off to Notre Dame.
When I'm back in the winter, I'd love to talk some NBA with you.
Cell phones exist for a reason, bro. We can do phone interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is an NFL podcast, though, so maybe, like, start paying attention to me.
No, but I mean, like,
so
you should venture into the NBA is what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah, bro, we tried that earlier. Like, I don't know. But why not just stick to the sport that it's literally in your title?
How are you gonna provide year-round coverage? What are you going to do when April comes
around? Have you heard how many shows we put out in April? Like, 8. There's so much shit to talk about in April. You talk about how free agency impacts teams. You do that for the AFC. You do that for the NFC. You talk about the combine. You talk about the draft picks. You do a mock draft show. Then you come back. You talk about the first round of the draft. Then you talk about the whole draft. And that breaks into 2 episodes, AFC and NFC. There is so much to talk about. The NFL
you're right.
The NFL has its off season from May to this week of July.
Uh-huh.
This week training camp starts, and basically my life just becomes football until May. So, congrats, world. Eric's not doing anything till May. Especially, I'm staying in next weekend because I have like 4 more interviews scheduled.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, bro. We're gonna grind this all out.
Well,
but
it was my pleasure being on the show.
Thanks very much. All right, folks. We will be back on... I don't know. All right. But we'll tweet out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. Walter doesn't tweet, but if you wanted to follow him...
If you want to follow me for some high-quality content and memes, it's just at Walter Robson. There's just one R.
For sure. All right. Love you guys. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.